God. My heart's pumping. I'm ready to praise His name. Come in here tonight and lift Him up. Appreciate being able to come into a place and feel the Spirit of the Lord. Not just any place, but it's none other than the house of God. Being with His people, His precious chosen people, gives us more of an opportunity to praise Him because we have those wonderful truths, those gifts that we've been given being a part of the body of Christ, having that vision that we've been given these many years. I appreciate that, and that should make me want to lift my hands all the more. You know, there's others that are our brothers and sisters. They're praising God. He said, if they don't praise me, then the very rocks will cry out. But I can praise Him today, and you can praise Him today with understanding, with that wisdom of what we've been given, this opportunity to come in here in heavenly places, to dwell with the cloud that's in the earth today. And I was just thinking about how what a privilege it is. You know, I don't want to take any of those things for granted today, Sister McGowan. I want to lift up my hands. I was thinking about as we were singing that those great things about God and how wonderful He is. You know, I think it's in was it Psalm 8? O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. In all the earth. That's our God that we serve today. He is great and worthy to be praised. And I want to realize that also from the creation standpoint of who God the Father is, but then to go down to that level of realizing He wanted a relationship with me and you. He gave us that opportunity, and He gave us His very Son, Jesus Christ, that we would have an opportunity to have that Holy Ghost, that Spirit of God dwelling in us, to have that connection back to Him. That connection that I personally had nothing to do with breaking, but God gave us that opportunity to have that again, once again, and I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. You know, I'm not going to get up here and say I'm going to open service because you know what? We all here, we know how to have service, don't we? We're not new to this group of people. We're not new to serving the Lord. We're coming here today to lift Him up, to receive something from Him. Because right now I know how it is as far as, you know, from day to day. I tell you what, the last 3-4 months, I don't know how long now, for a long while, I go to work, and I go there, and I promise. It's a lot like Brother Paul David Thompson was saying today, or McGowan. Today, I related to a lot of what he was saying. I really appreciated his words because, I go to work and I'm like, you know what? You know, devil, get thee behind me. I'm ready today. And then when I leave, I'm like, oh, you know, I have been beat down. I'm like, you know, Father, I'm forsaken. I mean, I feel like, wow, can anyone be more negative? You know, and my job is to do nothing but take complaints. So, you know, that's, anyway, there's, you know, I don't usually get a complaint that's like, you know what, I love you guys. You do a fantastic job, and I just wanted to call and tell you that. I would probably pass out if I ever heard that. Really? Can I record this? But what I'm saying in that is, you know, that's just a job. And like Brother McGowan was saying in relation to, you know, if we're having trouble with the footmen, how are we going to contend with the horses? I was thinking about this last week because I was thinking, because I was in the Mully Grubs, and I was just like, I don't like my job, I don't like my boss. I mean, you know, I was kicking the stones, and if I had a cat, I may have kicked it. And I was thinking about those things, and then I heard that still small voice. Really? God doesn't really have to say a lot, does He? But when He says it, you're like, oh, I'm sorry. What was I doing? You know, I just kept feeling that, really? So you're saying that you're under such great persecution right now. I mean, woe is you. Oh, you've got stress at work. Ooh. You know, and I was thinking about that, and I was like, wow, what a, see, I don't think there's anyone here named Nancy, but I was being a negative Nancy, okay? In my own spirit, I was having a pity party. And I mean, I had the little hat, and I had the little blowing thing and everything. I was having a good old time and just being all whiny. And then that's when God just started talking to my heart. So you're saying you don't have any faith in me. So you're saying that what I've done for you through the years, I haven't obviously ever blessed you. I haven't taken you through valleys before, have I? I haven't taken you over mountaintops. I haven't put things in your heart so that you could, during these rough times or these not so rough times, you could call on me. You could know where your strength lies. Now, what was I supposed to say to that? But you're right, Lord. I mean, I didn't really have any recourse. I can't really argue with that. You're right, Lord. You're right. And I started thinking about, that's just it. I started calling those things up to my memory. the many times that God has been there for me through my life. You know, going back to, you know, the blessings. Just, you know, I didn't have to necessarily be going through anything, but just the blessings. Being, quite honestly, you know, and if we want, you know, as we compare the body of Christ to the children of Israel in that day, I was born amongst this group of people. And how easy it is for me to take that for granted. How easy it is for me to say, well, this is common. This is what I know. I mean, what? What's the big deal about this? As so many times as the children of Israel just took it for granted. But as Paul said, they were given the very oracles of God. You know, the teachings, the having that relationship with him, having that tabernacle there, always for them to be able to go and reach God. I've been given that same thing. And I did nothing. Nothing at all to deserve that. It was given to me, Sister Crow. I don't have your testimony. I've always appreciated that. It's one I love to hear. When you talk about how, you know, you didn't have those things. You had a hunger, though, a desire, and to pray, Lord, send us someone that can open up that book, that can show us what it really means. You know, here I sat at the king's table, and it was just presented before me, Sister Loris. It was just like, here, this is the food that you're supposed to eat. And I want to thank the Lord for that today. I want to lift him up and praise him. Not just that I have that opportunity, but there is that opportunity here today. There are beautiful things that have been set before us, and I want to partake in that. I don't want to gripe about the little things. I don't want to let those little foxes spoil the vine. I want to get those things out of my heart, Sister McGowan. I was thinking about David. I was thinking about, you know, what he really, how he was such a man after God's own heart. He was ever praising and lifting up God, putting God in his right place. David made many mistakes along the line, but he knew who his creator was. He knew when he made mistakes, I mean, even I believe it was when Nathan came to him and said, you know, you've made these mistakes. Okay, you know, you can be, and I might be paraphrasing this, but basically, you can be defeated for a certain amount of time by men. Was another one famine or dearth? Famine or 3 days of pestilence brought on by God directly. And what did David say? David said, you know what, I'll take that because that's you, and I know God has mercy and he may turn from that. Even in that punishment, in that correction, David knew who to go to. He knew who to turn his eyes to. And I want to lift God up today and say, Lord, you know what? I haven't fought that mighty giant. One day, that's something that we understand. We know we're going to be going up before that giant. But right now, you know, in these things, I'm on the backside of the desert. Right now, I've just got my little sling, and I'm throwing the little bitty pebbles at my little problems right now. Learning how to have that faith in God more and more every day. Learning how to depend on him for whenever maybe I don't know where this bill is going to get paid, or maybe there's a problem or just something with relation to my children. What can I do but lift up my hands and say, God, you know what? I don't have the answer. But I know my Heavenly Father does. I know where my help comes from. And I want to extol that. I want to magnify that. I want to lift that up. That, Lord, you know what? If I just get into myself again, if I start throwing that pity party, my eyes start going down and I'm not looking to where my help comes from. I'm trying to take care of the problems myself. I'm trying to handle it all on my shoulders, or my shoulders aren't big enough. But my God can. My God is able to perform way more than I ever would need. And I wanted to get up tonight and just and lift that up. You know, those songs, I appreciate those songs. You know, our God is great and our God is mighty. I don't want to just repeat those words. I want to really let them sink down in my heart and realize our God is great. Our God is mighty. What are you going to put in front of him? What am I going to put in front of him? Oh, God, I'm sorry. I know you created the universe. I know you have this great power, but my problems are just too much for you, God. I'm sorry, God. You can't take care of me because I'm special. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. When I don't just humble myself down and say, God, I know what you want. I'll share this with you today. I was I was at my new apartment, and I was just trying to rest a little bit, just trying to get ready for service tonight. And anytime it seems like the moment I sit down, and I know all the parents in here will definitely relate, the moment I sit down, my children seem to need something. Now, they didn't need anything 5 seconds before I sat down. But the moment I sit down, it's like, oh, yeah, by the way, Dad. Oh, yeah, by the way, Dad. And it's like, you know, if I could figure out how to just sit like this and not actually sit down, I think I'd be okay. But once I sat down, Hannah came over, and she was wanting some food. Okay, now, I'm not going to deny my child food. I'm not going to do that. I'm a good father. So, but, you know, in my mind, I was, you know, it's in the back of my mind, again, that little, the wrong voice. Why is it every time I sit down, you know, you guys can't tell me that before? And what came to my mind was our Heavenly Father, about that importunity, you know, that lesson that Christ gave us. You know, if me being evil know how to give good gifts unto my children, how much more shall my Heavenly Father give good things to us when we ask of Him? You know, and so as I got the pineapple, I felt a little more benevolent too. As I got the pineapple, here, Hannah, here's your pineapple. But, you know, I was thinking of, you know, if I'm willing to do that for my daughter, what is God willing to do for me? What has He already done for me in giving His only begotten Son so that I could have that opportunity to one day rule and reign with Him? I just want to lift my hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He is worthy of all praise. Worthy of all praise. The rocks won't get an opportunity. I know in this church, and you know, there's a different side of that. You know, we know we're to be lively stones. You know, and I've heard this. I've never been a stonemason. As a matter of fact, any type of tool in my hand immediately becomes a destructive tool because I just don't know how to build things. But I've heard that rocks, that there are rocks that, you know, you have to have the right kind of stone to build with, or otherwise, it could be a dead stone. It can't bear under the weight. And so it even has a certain sound to it when you hit it with a certain tool. I'm not familiar with what the tool actually is called, but it gives a certain ding, you know, a good clear tone. I want to give that when God is testing me. Another thought, just giving you from what my heart has on it today. I was thinking about, in relation to that, like I said, right now, I honestly don't have some horrendous trial coming on me at this moment. I'm not asking for one either. I'm just saying, though, I was thinking about that, though. I was thinking about, and I'm an open person now more than I've ever been, but those trials, those tests, those tribulations, those times that God is asking me, I'll say me, to grow a little bit more, as I was sitting up in that chair, it put a lot more pressure on me, and I was thinking, He really does know how to work on us, doesn't He? I mean, it was, you know, I know that's a simple thought, but it really just clicked in there. You know, I understand more so now. When Paul was talking about, you know, I glory in these tribulations. You know, it wasn't that he was like, yay, I'm having trouble, but he understood what they were for. He understood that at that moment that God was investigating his heart. He was checking it out. He was trying to get the things out of it that didn't need to be there and clear up those that part and make it true, like as Brother Pryor was, and I really appreciate that, it's a fleshy heart, not the flesh, but it's a fleshy heart that can be touched by God, and I want that. I want to be able to submit to those trials. I want to realize when God is asking me to step up a little bit higher, when He's asking me to come up another level. I remember years ago when Elisha got that revelation, even though it had nothing to do with church whatsoever. It just had to do with his video game, and he was having trouble getting to that next level, but he cried out to God and asked Him, God, help me to get to that other level, and He got to that other level. Let me tell you, and Mario was happy. He was tired of dying. And see, even for a five-year-old, though, that was a trial to him. That was a test to him, and that helped his faith just a little bit more. You know, I think to my son sometimes, I want to be able to learn in anything. The same thing happened in soccer. He, you know, for some reason, he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn with that soccer ball. But I remember him saying, you know, as David said, or there's a children's video of David and Goliath. And in that particular one, David's, you know, slinging it around. He says, God, guide my hand as he lets go of it. And so Elisha was on the soccer field. And he said at that moment, God, guide my foot, and kicked it, and it went in. Now see, like I said again, that was building his faith. And today he knows God listens. He hears my prayers. You know, for me and you, it would seem simple. But I know I've lost, as others have, I've lost keys. I've lost my birth certificate. I've lost so many things that I just pray and I'm like, Lord, I just need your help. You know what? I don't know where it is today. I but you know it matters to me. You know it matters to me. And after a while, I'll find it. What's God trying to tell to me? He's just trying to say, son, let me lead you. Yes. Let me guide you. In the small, if I will give over in these small things and say, God, you know, in everything I'm going to consider you. Then as the bigger things come into my life, it's going to be second nature to just say, Lord, I surrender. Lead me where I wouldn't normally go, and I'll follow you, Lord. I'll follow you wherever you would have me go, God. I'll lift up my hands and say, Lord God, I don't have the answers, but you do, and that's my heart. You know, I don't, as Brother McGowan was saying today, I do not do that even slightly perfect today. I'm more, you know, if you had a percentage-wise, I'm not going to share the percentage with you. It's lower than it needs to be, okay? But I'm working toward that. I want to have that heart that at least God is creating a clean heart and renewing it daily. I want to have that mind that, God, I may not haven't done things perfect today, but you know what? If you give me tomorrow, I'll try it again. I'll put my foot forward one more day, Lord. I'll stand up for you one more time. God, I will praise you a little bit louder. I'll lift my hands a little bit higher if that magnifies your name, God. And that's what my heart is today. And so I'll go ahead and take us to prayer. And I know we've got many needs. I know today it was humbling to hear the different requests from Sister Durham's sister to Sister York's sister with cancer. I know Sister Abraham's family that have the her concerns that she's talked about, and a great report on Brother Angelo, but we still need to lift him up in prayer. I mean, you know, I'm expecting great things. I'm expecting God to do these things, and it's that expectancy, though. It's that asking. And I know there was some other needs here today. Who else? I know Brother Stewart's father still needs prayer. Sister Elsie Ratliff needs to be lifted up. She's definitely a testament to me. Sister Donna Henderson's mother in the hospital. Who else? I thought there was someone else that was in the Brother Benfield, and we also need to remember Brother Cletus Benfield and Brother his wife. I'm sorry, I was thinking of Brother Foster's who I was thinking of, and then Brother Cletus Benfield's wife in the hospital. Brother Luke as well. Let's remember him. Let's lift him up. He's had God working his life earlier on. God's already moved on his behalf. You know, we just have to have that faith that he'll deal with him. He'll deal with his heart. Sister Oates had that faith. I was a hard-headed prodigal who was going the wrong direction, and God pulled the carpet from out under me, and bless God, I was thinking about that today. Brother Daniel's coming into the buckle, trying to look all cool, but God had a different purpose in mind for him that day. He was just going to plant a little seed in my heart that would then flourish, and thank God for his people that can be used in those different ways. We'll put that in first, Brother Daniels. All right, and that's the back of the book, Brother Daniels. Who else has a need here today that we want to lift up? The spider bites. Also, ongoing issue. He's got a procedure about. Let's lift that up. And Brother Brett. I understand. I truly understand. Let's lift up that need as Brother Brett is seeking God's will in his job. It reminds me also of Brother Curtis Golden, has been seeking something there for quite some time, and I really want to see my brother blessed. Oh, yes. You know, when we bring these needs up before God, you know, I want to see his will in my brother and his family's life. So let's really remember that need, Sister Holly. Let's remember Sister Holly as she embarks on that new journey, using all those skills she's acquired in college and the practicals and everything. And let's remember that. It's be a stressful time, but we know that God's got her back. Mr. Thompson. Let's really remember Brother Paul. He's had some procedures or not being able to find anything. And also, I mean, we all know, I mean, it's oppressive out there right now as far as the heat. And he's out in that daily trying to help everyone else stay cool. So let's remember him as he continues on his job. And he's, yeah, let's remember the... I've heard some things already. Let's remember them in the Dominican, that they're going to bring back some of that fire from over there. Everyone who's been over the Dominican knows whenever that service is, when they're rolling, you know, you can't help but get caught up in that. And next thing you know, I mean, I was ready to run out of the church about every other minute, but that's a different story. Let's also remember your brother, Brother Tom Boyd. Let's remember the Republic Assembly. And Brother Parker there. Any other requests tonight?
Let's pray for Brother Wallace. He's trying to stay in church. He's just got afflictions that he just can't handle.
Let's remember Brother Steve Wallace and Sister Debbie and their family. Saints here for many years and just having some trials and tests. And sometimes we all know they can get us down, but we know where our help comes from. Let's lift them up today. All right, if we'll go ahead and stand, take these knees before the Lord and call out on Him for everything that we've mentioned here today. And let's just believe in faith that God has the answers and He'll help us through. Dear Lord, we appreciate You and we thank You for all that You do, dear God. So many needs that we bring before You, Lord. You as the great physician, the counselor, Lord, our Prince of Peace. Oh, Jesus, help us, dear God. Lord, with so many needs. Brother Angelo, the different ones with cancer, Lord, the Church and Republic, dear God. Lord, strengthen them. Strengthen our brothers and sisters, Lord. Dear God, touch Brother Smith and Sister Smith in the Dominican Republic, Lord. Help that meeting to be beneficial for the work over there, God, and to lift up the saints that are there, dear Jesus. Lord, we just ask You, Lord, that You remember us here tonight in this service, Lord. We're asking You, Lord. We want Your direction, dear God. We need Your help throughout the week, Lord, that we can have salt in our life for this world, dear Jesus. We appreciate You. We thank You for all that You do, dear God. Help Brother Luke, Lord. Dear God, touch his mind, touch his body, Lord. Bring him in here, Lord. Help him to be a part of this assembly, dear God. Thank You, Lord. Different ones, dear Jesus. Sister Lord, sister, Lord. Sister Laura Durham, sister, dear God. Cancer, Lord. Sister Abraham's family. Oh, Jesus. We ask You, Lord. Brother, Elder Brother Stewart, dear God. Sister Holly, she endeavors in this new job. Oh, God, we're Your children, Lord. And we're asking You today for help, Lord. We're asking You for a closer walk with You, God. Dear Jesus, we ask You, Lord, help us, Lord. Brother Tom Boyd, get established down here, Lord. Appreciate You so much. We thank You for Your many, many blessings, Lord. Oh, God, blessed be Your name, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Wonderful Savior, Lord. We lift You up, dear God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, Savior, bless Your name, Lord. Bless Your name, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, God, bless Your name, Lord. Dear Jesus, we just want to praise You, Lord, and thank You. Oh, Jesus, bless Your name, Lord. Bless Your name. Bless Your name. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Take your liberty tonight and fill after the Spirit.
That's why I refuse to get down, because I know that He's going to help me I've run into some problems that, you know, on my brother's estate, different things. Just because you're related to somebody doesn't mean that you're going to make it easy and they're going to do what you want them to do. And, oh, my goodness, I've just run against some walls. And so, I'm not going to, just like he answered, like a lot of you know, when I got up Wednesday night, I testified about my miracle that I was sat down on my porch and I just said, Lord, I need that 1125. I don't know. You know where it's going to come from. I don't know where it's going to come from, but I know that you're going to somehow bring it to me. And then I had heard my brother's voice, you know, real clear. Don't worry about it. It'll be all right. And I just knew. I just knew right then it's going to be all right, you know. And then a day later, there it was, you know. He answered my prayer. And so I know that he's going to do the same with his other problems. So I go tomorrow to face Social Security, and then I got to go to other different places. And, you know, it just goes on and on. I thought I was done whenever I buried him. I thought that was it. But, it's not over yet. And so I just need y'all's prayers. And learning how to lean and depend on Jesus, because you know I have, and I somebody told me, I think it was my cousin Olivia said, you know, sometimes God wants us just to trust him. And I know, you know, people can tell you that and you know that, but somehow it has to take somebody really to click, to tell you again, to for it to click. And I'm like, you know, that means that I'm just not going to worry. Because to me, when I worry, that means I'm saying, God, you're not big enough to help me with this problem. You know, I can handle it, but no, I cannot. I cannot do it without him. So I'm really going to trust him that he's going to come through. And I know that, you know, there were some things going through my mind while Philip was talking, but I wanted to say now it's all gone, you know, because I was telling, I think, Bonnie this morning, I said, I feel like a zombie. I feel, because they got me on a different medication, and it's like getting used to me. I'm trying to get used to it, and it's like I'm here and I'm not there, and that's not new. I know you guys probably say, oh, you're the same, like that all the time, but I mean, okay, so Dolores, I know that's what you're thinking, but I do. I mean, I feel like I'm not here. You know, I'm floating somewhere, and I just need your prayers that, you know, and I know that y'all have been praying, and I appreciate it. I've had a lot of support, you know, as far as phone calls and stuff, because, you know, even though my brother was not my spouse or my father, but it's like he was my child. I mean, I took care of him, and, you know, even before he moved in with me, I used to take care of his needs and his financial needs and all that stuff, and but then when he finally came in 13 years ago to live with us, it was like a day and night thing, you know, constantly something or another. And so there's a big void there. And I do have some moments that I don't get down. I just, you know, I miss him. And so I know that God is going to help me, and he's going to take me through it just like he brought me to it. He's going to take me through it. I think I am getting stronger in the fact that the trials that I'm going through, I'm not letting them rob me of my victory. I'm not, because I mean, I got so blessed last Sunday, and then, you know, things started happening. So I know that to me, it's, the closer I get to God, the more I feel like he's going to try me, you know, to make me, you know, rub that stuff, that old skin, you know, so I can become shiny and a better person. And there's a lot of that that's got to go away before I do become the person he wants me to be. But I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to give up. And I don't have those thoughts going through my mind because, oh, my goodness, I could never make it without God. I need him in my life, and I could not survive without him. I don't know how some people out there can, you know, think they can make it without him, because I couldn't. And I really appreciate, you know, everyone here, and you're my family, and I love you. And I just desire y'all's prayers that I'll be able, that I'll, be able to come maybe, a week or two? I'm just going to give it maybe a couple weeks. Get up and I'll say, hey, I got another miracle. Or, you know, give y'all, brag on God. Because that's what I like to do. Because I'm giving all the credit to God that he's going to see me through all this. And he's going to bring me, you know, on top. And so I'm hoping for. And I'm waiting patiently. And that's another thing. He's working on me, patience. Because I am getting a little better. You know, I'm not going to say I'm getting really good because I know he'll try me again. But I am advancing on that, in that area, on the patience. So anyway, I just want to get up and thank God. I don't want to ever be ungrateful for everything that he's done for me, all the blessings and all the trials and tests. And I just appreciate him.
Testimony, but I don't want to just sit here either and never let the Lord know that how much I appreciate him and that I'm here. You know, I mean, I want the Lord to know, and I may say it in my mind, but I need to, you know, get up and express it. Let the Lord know I'm thankful to be here. And Sister Linda, that's, the Lord is great, and he's mighty, and he's your shepherd, and he watches over you. That's what I was thinking the whole time she was talking. I thought, he is great, and he's mighty, and he watches over his people. And I appreciate it. I appreciate his mercy and his goodness to me in my life. You know, we're all going to go through trials and tribulations in our lifetime. That's just life. But it's, Brother Leonard used to say, it's, what was it? You can either react or you can respond. And I thought, I want to respond. When I go through a test and a tribulation, I want to respond to it. Because, you know, I don't have to go through it again. I just have to just keep going through it over and over and over and over. But I'm probably rattling. But I want the Lord to know how much I appreciate his mercy and his goodness to me. Because there's no telling where I would be if it wasn't for his mercy. For his mercy. Because, I mean, as a child and a teenager, I went through some hard trials, you know, with my family. But thank God for my mother. Thank God for my mother. She used to preach to me all the time, and I'm so thankful she did. I'd get so tired of the time, that the Lord, you know. But I'm thankful that she preached to me. I am so thankful. And I just want to say how much that I love the Lord. And that I want to go on. I want to go on. I don't want to. And I don't want to just sit and not let the Lord know that I'm thankful. That I'm thankful to him. You know, I just can't sit here. I'm, you know, I got to be doing something. I got to, you know, I just can't. You know, I got to get my feelers up. And I know sometimes I think, oh, you know, but I can't help it because I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this people, and I'm thankful that I'm here. And I'm thankful that I'm not out there somewhere just, you know, floating around, you know, doing my own thing. And I know y'all probably think, oh, Lord, she's, you know, there she goes again, emotional. But I want the Lord to know that I'm thankful. I'm thankful to be here. And I can't help but praise him. I cannot help but praise him. Oh, Lord. You know, it's a pressing way. It's a pressing way, and you got to press in. Woo! You got to let the Lord know that you're thankful. Glory, glory. And I'm talking to myself. So, you know, but if, you know, take it to her. If it fits. Glory, 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 glory. So I just want to say that I'm thankful to be here. Glory, glory,
appreciate everyone that's here. Most importantly, I appreciate that the Lord's here. And I appreciate this setting that we have. The joy that we have. Did I get it turned on, Brother Matt? It's not on. Lights are on. Nobody's home. Should be on now. Let's crank your button. Turn your gain up. There you go. All the way. All right. Well, I'll get loud in a minute. Or not now. Come on. But it's joyful, isn't it, to be in the house of God? And the world is, you know, I shouldn't be so foolish. But I still hold out hope for the world. But, you know, the world is chaos. And it always will be chaos until sin is eradicated. Until man no longer has his way and God is in control. Until that day happens, there's no hope for the world. Even Paul told the Gentiles, he said that they were a people without hope. Lost. And it's really hard for me to fathom that somebody can just be lost. That there's just no hope for them. But, you know, Psalms 1 said that the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff which the wind come and driveth away. That could have been me. I could have been counted in that ungodly category. I could have just been easily dismissed, forgotten about. You know, we have a hard enough time just remembering the names of our ancestors. We're visiting a little bit before church and recounting ministers of days gone by, and I'm ashamed to admit, there's names I couldn't remember. People that I used to know about, and now I only partly know about, because I can't remember the name, I can't remember half the story. You know, people that I hold in high regard, I have a hard enough time remembering them. And they meant something to me. What about the ungodly who didn't amount to nothing? You know, we might remember somebody who invented something. Somebody who made a great discovery. Somebody who may have conquered a nation, or, you know, oftentimes we remember the bad people. We can tell you the names of those that have done wrong. But it's not always as easy for us to remember the names of those that have done right. And so the Bible says, but God, He knows, doesn't He? And He said that the ungodly are not so, for they're like the chaff which the wind come and driveth away. So, and then over in Ecclesiastes talks about how they're like animals. That they die, they go to the grave, there's no knowledge in the grave, and they're forgotten about. Well, I want to tell you today that I don't want to be forgotten about. But not in the sense that I've done something wrong, and y'all remember that. I don't want to be forgotten about by God for the sacrifices that I've made for Him. There's another scripture just come to my mind. Escape me. It happens. But what I want to do, though, is I don't want to just glory in my own strength. I know that whatever I have, any good thing that I have today, I know has come from the Lord. I do know that. Sometimes I have to remind myself of that. I was thinking yesterday or the day before, the Bible says that pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. And I was thinking about, you know, Brother Linger, really, he worked on us about pride, and I appreciated it. I still, even to this day, I appreciate hearing Brother Smith come right back around to that. You know, there's no good thing in pride. There's no good thing in pride. And I was thinking about this the other day. If you find, I was talking to myself. Hey, we have some pretty good conversations. So I was talking to myself, and I said, if you find yourself in a moment of pride, you better just get ready for the fall. You better just brace yourself for the fall, because it's coming. Now, wow, that hurt a little bit. I hadn't even fallen yet. Now, still, you know what they say? It's not the fall that gets you, it's that sudden stop. But if you find yourself in a moment of pride, you better just get ready for the fall, because it's coming. Pride cometh before fall. And you know, it's just those little bitty truths that we have that help us. It's just those little bitty truths that we have that help us stay on the pathway of righteousness. They help kind of keep us in focus. They keep us pointed in the right direction. It's just the little bitty things, the little moments of truth that we have, the little nuggets that we get, the little things that we get that help us stay on this pathway of righteousness, this pathway of charity. I was thinking about this scripture over in Psalms 119. It was a scripture that meant a lot to me as a young man, but it still means a lot to me today. Psalms 119 and 1, it said, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes." So you can just hear this man. On one hand, he's saying, "Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and they that seek Him with the whole heart." He could have said, "Because they do not, or they do no iniquity, they walk in His way." It's like there's a cause and effect. Because they seek Him, because they walk in His way, they do no iniquity. "Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed at Thy statutes." It's just hopeful. Oh, that my ways, everything about me, everything in my life was directed by the Word of God. "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." You know, you can just see this longing desire as he's going through this. That, wow, if I do these things, I'll stay in the path of righteousness. He'll help me if I keep His statutes. And you know, myself, I have a hopeful desire. You know, I think Brother Durham quoted that scripture today, that every man seemeth right in his own eyes, but the end thereof is death. And I think Brother Smith, a few weeks back, services back, he quoted that scripture, or maybe as Brother Pryor said, that the carnal mind is the enmity of God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's impossible, in other words. It's absolutely impossible for the carnal mind to do the will of God. And so, myself, I recognize that. You know, what is it? Jeremiah 17 said, what is that scripture? Yeah, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? The Bible says, yea, I, the Lord, know the heart, and I try the ways. Thank you, Brother Phil. To see whether they be of God or not. And so there's so many elements, there's so many scriptures in here that just absolutely tell me that I'm a rotten person. But here I am. Why? Because I'm hopeful. I am hopeful that in spite of me, God still has something to work with. He's still got some clay that he can mold into a vessel of honor and use for his righteousness. And so, when I'm reading this in Psalms 119, I can see the writer feeling that same. I'm relating there that he's got that same hopeful desire that by the help and grace of God, I'm going to make it out of this world a living soul. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't that our goal? To move out a live soul, or to resurrect from the grave as a living soul, to live forever with Christ? Praise God. What a joyful day that'll be. No more sin, no more sorrow, no more grief. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. And so I like this scripture here in Psalms 119 and 1. Let's see here. 119 and 9. If you would, Sister Joanne, go ahead and go to that. He said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Now that scripture was given to me as a young boy. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You know, there's so many moments and so many elements in our life where we absolutely just make a mess. You know, I couldn't even begin to count how many times in my life since I've received the Holy Ghost, since I've got a vision of the body of Christ, since I've received these truths, since I've professed that this is my people, since I put my ear to the doorpost and took the mark, since I decided that I'm going to walk in this way, I've still made a mess of things. And, you know, you can't undo it. There's some things you can't undo. There's some scars that never go away. There's some moments in your life that absolutely are there and will always be there. But you know, those moments don't have to be dirty. They don't have to be defiled. Do you know a scar? You take a wound, if you will. A wound, if you're in good health, will heal. Now, you may have a scar, but it's no longer, you know, bleeding. It might be tender for a while. You might lose feeling even. But it's no longer, you know, bleeding or open. It's cleansed. You still got the wound, or you still got the scar, but the wound is cleansed. But we all have seen people who had wounds that didn't get healed. Open sores. You know, and eventually it just leads to further destruction or of their health. Well, that's what the house of God is here. We're here in this setting tonight not to turn away from somebody who's got a wound or somebody who's made a mess of things. This setting here tonight is to help us, each and every one of us, to find cleansing, to find healing, praise God, to find a deliverance. Now, you may carry the scar. You may carry that reminder. I do. But you can do it in good health. You can do it in good spiritual health. Praise God. So he said, wherewithal, boy, my trusty phone has failed me. Sister Joanne, would you go there? There you go. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Next verse, please. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Next verse, please. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not. Now notice this part. That I might not. See, the possibility still exists. Now that hurts. That's frustrating, Brother Caleb. You know, it frustrates me. I've been on this way a long time. I got the Holy Ghost whenever I was 14 years old. Met the body of Christ when I was 12. I've had the Holy Ghost a long time. Not by some definition, but by other definition, plenty of time. I've had it plenty enough time to make changes, to not be the person that I was, and I can tell you today that I'm not the person that I was. But it still hurts when I read a scripture like that that says that I might not sin against thee. I'm going to make mistakes, and you are too. How do you fix it? How do you fix those mistakes? Wherewithal shall a young man or young lady cleanse their way? By taking heed according to thy word. Now, if you're sitting here feeling that maybe you're not so young, well, don't fret. That scripture applies to you too. You don't have to be 10 or 12 or 15 or 40 or 65 to be exempt from that scripture, because you're not. It applies to all of us. You know, and the truth of the matter is, we're all still young in the Lord. And even Paul, I believe, told Timothy, he said, let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, conversation, spirit, faith, and charity, I think. That applies to all of us. Just think how wonderful it'll be when we're sitting in heaven and we won't even be marking time. We won't have an idea of how long we've been there. You know, it's beyond my comprehension. 1,000 years? 10,000 years? We sing a song like that. 10,000 years, we'll just be started. You know, that's beyond my comprehension, Brother Daniels. To 10,000 years, we're all just little kids in here. We're just specks, you know. We hadn't even got off the finish line or the starting line out of the blocks. So, wherewithal shall we cleanse our ways? Praise God. Wherewithal shall a young person, wherewithal shall a saint of God, a sinner trying to be saved. How can we cleanse our ways? Praise God. By taking heed according to the word of God. Praise God. Are you disappointed in something? Is there a trial or a test that hinders you in your walk with the Lord? Be not afraid to stand up and say, I'm trusting the Lord in spite of the circumstance. Don't be ashamed to acknowledge that God is still God. Hallelujah. And He has all power in heaven and earth. And there's not one thing that He doesn't know or understand about each and every one of us. Oh, God, don't feel like your life is such a mess that it can't be cleansed. Don't feel like there's anything that's hindering you that is so great that God just, it's too much. It's God don't love you. Don't ever feel that way. But I will tell you this. If you find yourself in a moment of pride, where you think that you can handle it and you don't need God, you better just get ready for the fall. You better just prepare yourself because it's coming. We need Him. Brother Phil, you mentioned a stonemason. Appreciate what you said. You mentioned a stonemason. His tools are destructive. Chipping away, shaping, molding rock and such. And I mentioned to Brother Matt Durham, a stone is still a stone and really doesn't amount to anything until it's added with another stone. I need you. I need each and every one of you. We need each other. We're trying to build a garner here. We're trying to build the house of the Lord. We need each other, Brother Johnson. I'm thankful for all that are here today. And some of us are a little harder to work with than others. Some of us are nice, you know, in the way we're... I can't hardly say that without laughing. Some of us are shaped nice, and some of us have rough corners. It's what it is, isn't it? But we're all in this together. The Lord called us to this wonderful place here. And so if you find yourself in a mess, take heed to the Word of God. Take heed to the Word of God and let your ways be cleansed. And Sister Joanna, if you would, give me the next verse there. Verse 12. Blessed art thou, Lord, and then the next verse, that teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. Praise God. You know, it's hard. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Thank you, Sister Joanne. And truly, that's how I feel. That's how I feel right here. I feel like that we need each other's testimonies. We rejoice in each other's judgment. We're thankful when the good time we're thankful for the good times, and we're to be helpful and appreciative even in the bad times. And so, you know, I just want you to know that I love you. But more so, the Lord loves you, and with that, He's provided a means for all of us. And we all make decisions. We all make choices in life. As a young person, I made a lot of choices that I thought were right, and they turned out to be not so right. How did I fix it? How do you fix it? How are you going to fix it? Humility and taking heed to the Word of God. Praise the Lord. I'm happy to be here tonight.
Appreciate those good words that Brother Painter gave us, and had a thought that run across my mind concerning lively stones, and might be kind of a morbid type comparison, but Brother Phil gave us there's a difference in the sound. A lively stone has got a ring to it. A dead stone is just a thud, real dull thud. Now, this is the thought that kind of crossed my mind as Brother Painter was speaking, there's a scripture that makes a statement concerning lively stones fitly joined together. Yes. Did you know, folks, that you're lively stones? You're lively stones. That's not talking about whether you're real fervent in the Holy Ghost, you know, or that you're really covered in the Spirit of God, and you know, you're just all charged up, just can't hardly contain yourself. But we're all sitting here, lively stones. Means you've got life in you. That's what it means. And if you was to bring a corpse in here, was to bring somebody in here in a coffin, or if you just, you know, picked them up bodily and brought them in here and set them down in one of these chairs, I don't think anybody would think that that person would be a lively stone, would you? That's what you'd have to say. That's a dead stone. He's dead. Or she's dead. You wouldn't be able to get anything out of that person. And, you know, we talk about this lively stones that are fitly joined together, and everybody would realize that that dead person is not going to contribute anything to our services. They're not going to contribute anything to our lives. You can't get anything from a dead person. Anybody ever thought about trying to get something out of a dead person? Anybody ever considered that? I never have thought about getting something from a dead person. I have thought about getting something from a lively person. You know, somebody that's alive that can talk to me and tell me, as Brother Paul David put it this morning, they can give me some instructions on what I can do and do better. You know, that always comes from a person that is alive. I've never had anybody that was dead give me any help. But I've gotten a lot of help from lively stones, and I'm thankful tonight to be among the living, not among the dead. You know, I do appreciate everyone that showed up last night to our anniversary. Somebody told me today, he said, "You really know how to throw a party." We wasn't really throwing a party. We were just celebrating 50 years, you know. I was celebrating 50 years of Sister Ann staying with me that long. And so I've enjoyed it through the years, and now I'm embarking on a brand new 50 years, you know. Don't know that I'll make it, but I'm embarking on it because, you know, I've got two days under my belt nearly. So I've started on my next 50 years. But aren't you glad to be in the house of God, in the place where that God can touch our hearts? And we know that as long as we keep presenting ourselves and we keep coming and allowing God to touch us, He can take these lively stones that's sitting here and join us together in such a way that it'll do something for His kingdom in the earth. I'm glad to be a part of it. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad that God talked to my heart one day. I'm glad He touched my life. I'm glad for what He's doing today. Thank God.
Building. I want my life to be righteous and whole.
had a good night's night, lifting up the name of the Lord, striving to be lively stones. Let's remember that through our week and come back Wednesday night ready to be recharged and go again. Let's just lift up the name of the Lord as we're dismissing here tonight and thank Him for what He's given us. Dear Lord, thank You for this day, Lord. Thank You for this opportunity to be with Your people, Lord, to learn Your truth, Lord, to be closer to You, to have this vision of the body of Christ planted in our soul, Lord. We appreciate You, Lord. Keep Your hand on us through this week, dear God. Bring us back safe, Lord. We love You and we appreciate You. Thank You, dear Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Shake hands and be friendly. Thank you.